The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day of June, 2024. And tonight, he's a James Dean lookalike. Another our producer, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
I got two pretty women here in the studio with me. Did you know it?
Are you just bragging now, or what?
No, I just thought I'd let you know. But they've never done national radio. I think one of them's afraid of falling asleep. They might. Anyhow, we have tonight, my two guests are Stephanie Broadbent. Say hello.
Hello, it's Tiffany Broadbent.
Oh, yes. Did I say Stephanie? Okay.
It's quite all right.
Well, tonight it'll be Stephanie. No, only kidding. And we also have Stevie, and this is going to be a silent one. She's not saying anything, and we're actually calling her Stevie because if we called her Christine, she'd get mad. So we're not going to do that, right? Okay, there you go. These two are here. Serious business, aren't you?
Definitely.
All right, so we're going to get right into seriousness, and that's in God's Word, the Bible. What month is this?
This is June,
but it's the Natural Family Month. We are celebrating the Natural Family Month, right? Because God created the natural family, right? Natural family is what?
Mother, father,
and children, right?
Correct.
Okay, how many genders are there? It's only two. That's reality, isn't it?
Okay. That is.
And so that's what we're celebrating. And the Bible says that, is a divine institution. That's a divine. The very first institution God gave us was the institution of marriage and the family. Okay. Now there's an undivine, there's a very corrupted, polluted institution, and it's called what? LGBTQ, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the world out there, the very corrupt, those that are reprobate in the world, like on Spectrum One News, because they were really promoting LGBT week, okay, they've really bad. Spectrum One, shame on you people. Spectrum One News, shame on you, okay? And they're celebrating LGBTQ, which is lewd, what? Let's see. I've
said
it.
Get your rolls right off your tongue, usually. You said it too slow.
Oh, I know. Lewd. I've said it so many times. I'm not going to say it now. You should have learned it by now. You should have learned it by now. Well, you could say, let God burn them quickly. Okay. That's one definition. Okay.
Lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers?
That's it. Okay, you got it.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
You got it. There you go. Somebody's been listening to me.
I do sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right. And you do very good. And I got to admit, I never expected too much out of you, but you surprised me there.
That's common consensus.
No, actually, you're a very good producer. You are. I got to say that for you.
Well, thank you.
You do a good job. Now we're going to get into God's Word, the Bible. And now everybody out there listening from coast to coast knows that I can read, but they don't know anything about you guys, okay? So should we? Stevie, okay.
Stevie's dying to read.
Geez, are you dying to read? Okay. I'll do it. We're going to be in Judges chapter 19. Oh, this is a very hard piece of scripture here. Judges chapter 19, verses 11 through 30. And when they were by Jabus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto his master, Come, I pray thee, and let us turn in into the city of Jabus and lodge there. Now, here, the master was like a prince. And his master said unto him, We will not turn aside hither into this city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, Come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah, as in Ramah. And he passed on and went that way, and the sun went down upon them, and they were in Gibeah, and which belongeth to Benjamin. That was the tribe of Benjamin there. And they turned aside thither to go into the and to lodge into Gibeah. And he went in, and he sat down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from the work out of the field, even which was of the mount of Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah, and the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man. Now, wayfaring simply means a traveler in the street of the city. And the old man said, Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, and I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to a house. Now, see, in those days, remember, hospitality was very, very important. Okay, if you failed to show hospitality to a traveler, your reputation was ruined. That was, and so he goes on to say, yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for thy young man, which is with thy servants. There's no want of anything. And the old man said, Peace be upon you. In other words, he said, Look, we have our own food and everything here. We just need a place to stay. And the old man said, Peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. Now, this old man was just like Lot here in the previous chapter of 18. He knew what would happen to this man if he was to lodge in the street, because within the Benjamine, there were many men of Belial, and the men of Belial were Sodomites. Mm-hmm. So he brought him into his house and gave provender to the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house around about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came to thine house, that we may know him. They didn't want to introduce each other. They wanted to do sodomite. Okay, they wanted to sodomize this man. And that's what they do today. That's what today... What God has said, okay, is an abomination. In fact, the word's only used a couple times, grievous, a most grievous sin. Here, this is what we have today. And this is what today in the public school system and the mainstream media out there, Hollywood and all over, the entire Democratic Communist Party, they promote sodomy not only as an acceptable but a preferred lifestyle. If you watch in the public school system, they and even in the media, they have an esoteric message to the young people, saying, "Why don't you try it?" Right.
Right.
And so, and the master of the house went out unto them and said unto them, "Nay, my brethren, nay. I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is coming to mine house, to do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Then will I bring out now, and humble you them, and do with them which seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do no such a vile thing. Now, I said Sunday, when I preached this message in our church, there's not a man in this church that wouldn't fight to the death to protect his daughter. Mm-hmm. But not only that, there's not a man in this church that wouldn't fight to the death to protect any woman in this church, because we're a pretty close-knit church, aren't we, Stevie?
Yes, we are.
Yep, she spoke. Okay, there you go. But then you say, well, why would they do this? First of all, in those days, many men had many wives, okay? Mm-hmm. And the wife had a status. The firstborn male son had a status. But others, especially the daughters, they were treated more like servants or slaves. In fact, mm-hmm. they would often be sold, you know. A guy would sell them as a wife or something to the highest bidder, okay? We just can't understand it, because of... We're Christians, but they were under the letter of the law back in those days, too. Things were mm-hmm. a lot different. And so here now, he goes on, but the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night till the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house, where her lord was, till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman with concubine was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, and let us be going. Yeah, he seemed like he cared a lot about her, huh? Yeah. Mm. But none answered. And then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat into his place. And when he was come unto his house, he took a knife, and he laid hold on his concubine, and divided her together with her bones with 12 pieces, and sent her into the coast of Israel. See, she was actually his property, so he could do that, okay?
Wow.
But you see what he's doing here? He's sending one piece of her to each tribe, mm-hmm. because what the Benjamites did. And the result with that was a war between the other tribes and Benjamites, okay? And so it came that all that saw it said, there is no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt to this day. Consider it, take advice, and speak your minds. In other words, so he sent that to all the tribes, and the tribes became furious with what they did, and they declared war against the tribe of Benjamin. And so here again, we see every place we see in the Bible where it mentions sodomite. In four different places in Scripture, sodomites are compared to dogs. They're referred to as dogs.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did you know that the dogs were the least esteemed animal? They were the least esteemed. The lion was the most esteemed. But in four different places in Scripture, they refer to sodomites as dogs, right? King David instructed his men that when you kill a sodomite, don't touch him with your hands. They had to use a shield with holes, and then they would run a javelin through there. And he said, wherever they drop, burn them right there, okay? Hmm. Burn their bodies, because they were diseased. You see, this is what our society today, this is what the Democratic Communist Party is promoting. This is what Hollywood promotes.
Yeah, it's all.
And so with that, I want to go now over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, again, remember, this is what they call Gay Pride Month. This is what the reprobate minds. God, listen, you people out there in the media, you know, it's one thing if I call you reprobate, but when God calls you reprobate, you're reprobate, okay? Mm-hmm. And you better think about that, okay? And here, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies, hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Do you know who the creature was? The creature was them, themselves. They were the creatures, okay? And so here, it goes on. These pages are so thin. To say, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burdening their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Now listen to this. It's a whole litany of the pronouns, right, if you will, and none of them are good, okay? Now this all has to do with what they're promoting as preferable. Mm-hmm. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. What would you say would be the most natural affection? Think about this.
I would say mother to child.
Mother to child, especially the unborn, would be the most natural. If we take a look at, say, in the wilderness, in the wildlife, a mother grizzly bear will fight off a male twice her size. Sometimes mm-hmm. the males get twice the size of the female. She'll fight to the death to protect her cubs from right. a male, you see. Because if a male grizzly senses that cub is not his, he'll kill it, okay? Mm-hmm. But the mother, she'll fight to her death for her cub. And the same thing with lions. And the lions will do the same thing, mm-hmm. okay? A mother wolf will fight to the death to protect. And we have women in this country today that are killing their babies.
Yeah.
They're killing their babies.
And
here he goes on. What else is the most natural affection? The most natural. We just talked about it. Two genders. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most natural. But listen to this verse, because this verse sums it up. And here he says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now listen, I had a friend who ran 3 abortion mills. She got saved. She came out of there. She got saved. She told me, she says, when these women tell you, personally, I would never have an abortion, but I won't judge those that do, she said, that's shop talk. She said, that means they've had at least one. She said, you could take that to the bank, okay? I never had thought of that, okay?
Right.
But you're right. When Barack Obama, remember, and Rick Warren, on the very day that Barack Obama, when he was running, on the very day he said, well, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay, that's my belief. And Rick Warren said the same thing. I said this. As soon as he's elected, that'll change. As soon as he's elected, both him and Rick Warren changed the stories mm-hmm. on the very same day that Barack Obama got elected. And it's just unbelievable, the hypocrisy. And then I want to go over to Psalm 40, verse 4. Now, how many times have you ever said, you've got children, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Two.
Boy and a girl?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And you knew, and they know that they're boys and girls, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Do they both know what a woman is?
I believe they do.
I did. When I was a kid, somebody said, "What is a woman?" I could point one right out to you. Right there
right.
It is. Okay.
It's self-evident. It is self-evident.
Well,
it was that.
We were taught that they were female humans, okay?
Yeah.
That's kind of deep for now, though, right?
I mean, right.
So, anyhow, I want to go over to Psalms 40. And in Psalms 40, just one verse, verse 4, ready? Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, how many times have you said to your son, son, I'm proud of you, or your daughter? See, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that, okay?
Okay. I do.
You shouldn't do that, you see, because here's what he says about the proud. He said that the proud, okay, are an abomination. Now, so what should you say? You should say, son, you're a blessing. Daughter, you're a blessing, okay? Mm. Because words have meaning, don't they?
Definitely.
And we have to use the right meaning. And then if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, remember, when you're studying Scripture, the five W's. Do you know what the five W's are?
Well, I know the five W's we were taught in elementary school, which was who, what, when, where, why.
That's right. Who is he talking to? What is he talking about? Why is he talking about where and why? Or where and when? Why is where and when important, do you think?
Well, because there are cultural references that might mean something different.
At different times, in different places, the same words mean different things. Okay.
Right.
And see, when I was a kid, we had on our bookshelf a book that says how to throw a gay party, okay? And it didn't mean what it means today at all.
Not.
It was completely different, you know.
Right.
Back in those days when you had a lot of kids, you had a lot of birthday parties, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the meaning was totally different.
Right.
And also, at different places, the words have different meanings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to Georgia when I was just a young guy going down there, and we used to do, I talk about, I got in a pricker bush, and they'd say, what is that? Okay. And you'd show them, oh, you mean a thorn. That's a thorn mm-hmm. bush. Okay. Okay. But words would have different meanings. There's some I can't say because you can't say on the radio. Okay. But anyhow, but with that, we're going to go to a break and hear this guy sing, Bring On the Warbler.
Big John, Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear, an awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John,
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John. Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder, Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood, when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
All righty, we are back. I want to say to the folks out there at the Heritage Club in Mentor, Hal Ward, and all the good people that were out there tonight, they hosted me. It was standing room only out there, and it was a real exciting crowd. People are becoming educated. They're learning. They're figuring things out. They're not as oblivious as they have been, and there's a concern about where to go. So, and that's a good thing. Things are moving. I think starting to move in the right direction. No more apathy and ignorance. We can't do it. And so it might not be too late to save America, but we're going to have a really bad summer. This summer is going to be a very, very bad summer. But Tiffany Broadbent, you're involved with something called Fortify Geauga. And so tell us what that's all about.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity. So Fortified Geauga, for those of you who are not in our neck of the woods, Geauga is the name of the county we live in here.
Do you know
Northeast
what that means,
Ohio.
The word Geauga?
I've heard it means raccoon.
That's what it means.
I've seen many.
I've seen many.
So Fortified Geauga is a local conservative political club that we formed in about November of 2022. And we use the word fortify because we want to strengthen our county. You know, fortify means to make strong. So we're trying to keep our county a conservative county. So many of you out there who don't live in our neck of the woods, you're probably familiar with a place like ours. It's a county, you know, far away from most large cities, mostly rural, and it has a reputation for being a very red county, a reputation for being very conservative because many of the people who live here are. But when you get right down to it and you look at the decisions that are being made in our politics, we're really turning much more purple day by day.
The enemy has gotten within.
And, absolutely.
And it hasn't been a straight-up thing. They've infiltrated us, okay?
Definitely,
and,
definitely.
They're moving away out of their own blue states and they're coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened, we have the rhino, the wretched rhinos out there.
Yes, we do. We're thick with them.
Yeah.
So, Geauga maybe is morphing its name to, instead of meaning raccoon, maybe it means rhino now.
Do you know what Cuyahoga means?
No, I don't.
Cuyahoga means crooked.
Wow.
Crooked County.
There you
crooked
go.
Crooked County.
Well, we have a saying at Fortify Geauga, which is, don't Cuyahoga our Geauga. So there are a lot of things happening in Cuyahoga County that we don't want to see happen here. So we formed this political club. It was basically just a group of us who were friends, my good friend Stevie here, and several others. And, you know, this happens a lot. You get together with some people and you maybe complain about politics or you trade stories or whatever. And we just decided that we should start doing something instead of just complaining. And all of us were keenly aware of what was happening at the local level. So there's this phenomenon that is happening everywhere right now where we are so tied up in paying attention to the celebrity level, you know, it's like Godzilla versus King Kong national politics right now. And I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be concerned with that because some terrible things are happening and we all need to be aware. But we have so little effect on what happens at the national level compared to the effect we could have at the local level. And so all of us in this group were just really aware that most people kind of tune out what's happening at the local level, and we wanted to get people paying more attention to it. So one of the things that's really near and dear to our hearts at Fortify Geauga is learning about our Republican Party in our county, and we like to say that we're bringing grassroots conservative values back to our Republican Party and our local government, because right now grassroots conservative values are not welcome in our Republican Party at the county level. There's animosity between conservatives in our community and the quote-unquote Republican Party. We unfortunately have a lot of good people with conservative values who've kind of gone into autopilot, where they just see an R behind somebody's name, and that's a done deal. Okay, I'll vote for that guy, right? Without looking deeply into it. And I just think we're past that point in our society right now where we can check out. You know, so much deviousness is going on. We have people rebranding themselves as Republican who really were lifelong Democrats, and then they come and run in areas like ours with an R behind their name, with the blessing of the establishment. And they're not conservative. They're not Republicans. So anyway.
And they actually send letters out. They actually send flyers out in the mail.
Yes.
Saying to the Democrats, mm-hmm. Register, vote in the primary as a Democrat. This candidate is really a Democrat. It's really not a Republican, but he's running as a Republican. We can get him elected. This is how we can get our Democrats elected.
Exactly. And in fact, the chair of our Republican Party, I'll say it again, the chair of our Republican Party in our county sent those around pre-election in the last couple of primaries, convincing Democrats to pull Republican ballots and vote for Democrats turn Republicans for county office, which I think is, to me, that's grounds for removal. I don't know why that other people don't consider it that way.
Do you hear that, Nancy? Do you hear that?
Okay, yeah. Possibly not. So our group formed. We were all aware that these things were going on. We were all really concerned that our local politics really wasn't being looked after by conservatives or people who have conservative values. And one of the things that we want to try and make a lot of people aware of is that there's a place where constituents, where citizens are supposed to have a voice in our party. And it's called the Central Committee. So in every state, there's a central committee for the state that runs the Republican Party, and every county has a central committee for the Republican Party and also for the Democrat Party, and in some places, libertarians as well. So these are elected representatives. So when you go to vote, there's a small group of people who all vote the same voting precinct. You know, our county has 78 precincts. Some counties have more. In some counties, they're called wards or districts, but it's the same idea. It's the small, maybe a few thousand people tops who are in one little sort of neighborhood. And each one of those has an elected representative who's supposed to be representing them in the party, in our county party. And they go to these meetings, and the meetings are supposed to be run a certain way according to law. And in our county, it's just not happening. The meetings are very infrequent. The members, even the ones, we have some great ones, and one of them is my husband. Hi, honey. who want to do good things, right? They want to bring the voices of the constituents into the party the way they're supposed to be able to, but they're stopped at every turn. They don't get orientation and training. They use Robert's Rules of Order, which is a common format that's used in meetings like that, but they don't get any training on it. So they have, you know, the chair and others who back her up are shouting them down and claiming that they're violating rules when they're not. It's confusing, it's chaotic, and it doesn't do anything good. So our party here in our county, and this is the thing that I think nationwide people need to be looking out for, our party just looks up, right? They raise money for higher candidates. They go to the big functions and schedule the big dinners and fundraisers. They never look down. They never talk about constituents. They don't bring those voices of constituents into the party at all or represent us. So Fortify Geauga, really our long-term goal is reform for our county party. Now, in the meantime, there are all these things that we wish our party would be doing, and they're not. So instead of just complaining about that, we've taken it upon ourselves to try and fill in the gaps and do some of those things. So, for instance, a few elections ago, we were just talking about this, the primaries last time, not the most recent, but before, it was discovered that there were no signs, it was November general election. There were no signs up for Republican candidates at any of our polling places. And the chair hadn't asked for help with this. There are plenty of people who, we get stories all the time about people who call in to volunteer and they never get called back. They don't get invited to do things. So
I couldn't find the Republican Party headquarters.
Well, let me tell you, that's because we no longer have one. We don't even have a physical office for our, there's no home. And that's more than literal. That's metaphorical, right? There is no home for our Republican Party here in Geauga County. The Democrats have an office that is buzzing with activity all the time.
Communist Party headquarters, I know, because
yeah,
I've
taken it. You know right
it.
Where it is. Yep.
I put Demisweep out in front of it several times.
Yes, and so we don't have that. And we did have it. There are some videos we have up on our website, fortifygeauga.org, of it was just complete disarray, things discarded, nothing is going on. Now, in other counties, we've looked around and done research. For instance, Medina County, which is near to us, they have other conservative groups use their Republican Party headquarters for functions. And, you know, it sounds like a really basic thing, like it might not be a big deal, but it's kind of like leadership 101. If you attach people to that place where you're doing that work, then you get people who are there. They want to volunteer. They want to be part of something, and they want to work on things with you. There's none of that goodwill. There's none of that community feeling in our party, and it's really sad because there's a lot that needs to be done. Our long-term goal is reforming the party. In the meantime, we're trying to fill in and do some of these things. Like we went around and put up, I sat at the kitchen table with all the maps for all the precincts and called seven or eight different people. And they were the runners taking signs. They had to go to other counties to pick up signs. We didn't have a place to pick up signs. When we have political issues or elections that come up, we have several citizens in our county who will give thousands of dollars. They'll print, you know, thousands and thousands of signs, like for issue one that we had last time, that put abortion in our constitution. We were fighting that. Our party didn't do that. Our party did not do that. And there were other organizations, and I have no problem with other organizations contributing, but there was no central place where all of this was happening. So we tried to fill in and do some of that.
During the 2016 election, it would have been, you know, in 2015 when we were holding our Tea Party meetings, mm-hmm. The Republican Party leadership came to the Tea Party. I was the president then, mm-hmm. with a couple hundred Trump signs. They mm-hmm. brought them in and they said, "Here, you guys are the real Republican Party. You can get them out. We don't have."
Wow.
And so they brought the signs into us, and the Tea Party, we put them out, and we got them out everywhere, and it worked. 2016,
right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Well, that's another thing that's really troublesome, I think. You know, I'm fairly new to the county myself. I've been here about three years. So I don't have a lot of a background on our party here or the Tea Party here. But I know that when I moved here and I was upset about mask mandates at school and I was upset about economic things that were going on and I wanted to know more, you know, just personally about political issues and candidates, the Tea Party is where I found all of that. There's no reason that our Republican Party shouldn't be giving people that information as well. So one of the ways that we're trying to fill in addition to things like signs and campaigns, is that we have a website, fortifygeauga.org, where we have a weekly newsletter and we try to let conservatives in our area know about issues that are local and state level. Now, not that there aren't important things nationally and internationally, but that's just too much to do. So we stick with local and state issues that are going to affect our county. Now, ideally, if you think about it this way, there are 78 precincts in Geauga County, so there are 78 central committee members. They could set up a precinct network to get the word out about important things that we need to, like, make calls about or phone calls or emails to our legislators or things that are happening. That network is already almost set up. If each one of them only had, say, 15 people in their precinct that they could get the word out to, you know, that's over 1,000 people. I'm one of the unfortunate people who used to sit through the state school board meetings every month. And there were two long days, a Monday and a Tuesday every month. And my husband and I have been, you know, very involved in education matters. And so we would sit and listen to them. And I remember there was a really important amendment or a resolution up, and some of the left-leaning school board members were trying to push off the vote because they knew that new people were coming into office. And they'd already been dealing with this for months. And so one of them said, "Well, we can't keep pushing this off. I mean, I must have gotten 200 emails about this." And I remember thinking, 200? Is that all it takes? That's all it takes for you to actually stand up, you know, make a stand in your school board committee here and make something happen. We could do that so easily with just a little bit of leadership, right? We could
sometimes
have such an impact.
Sometimes it only takes 10 phone calls.
Yes, and,
you know.
Yes, and they really do respond. So anyway, we have monthly meetings. We have our weekly newsletter, and it's all free. We're volunteers. We just do this because we think it's important. And we have one particular issue that we're really concerned with right now that affects not only, you know, our county, but the whole state of Ohio. And I would like to invite your listeners who are not from Ohio to pay special attention, because they're probably going to recognize some of the tactics that are being used in their communities to take away some of the rural character and spread the cities out everywhere. So when it's time, tell me, and I'll explain what this issue is that we're working on right now.
No time like the present.
Okay. All right. So thank you. So right now we're really concerned because the state of Ohio is poised to try and take away township zoning authority. Now, people don't live in a township. That might not seem like a big deal to them. In our state, we have, I think it's 39% of Ohioans reside in townships. In our county, it's...
I live in a township.
Yeah, it's 87% of us. And, you know, a lot of young people, especially like young homeowners, you don't even pay attention. You're like, I want this house, or I like that area. You don't pay a lot of attention to these things. But the way each township is zoned changes drastically the character of the community you live in,
yeah.
Right? So zoning authority, it covers commercial, industrial, and residential. So they make laws about, okay, you're not going to have some factory next to an elementary school. You're not going to have this type of store next to a church, or, you know, those sorts of rules. And also what types of housing can be built there. So it's very common in many of our townships that we have like minimum lot sizes, for instance. There aren't lots in many townships. There aren't lots less than 5 acres.
5 acres is where it's been here.
Right. And that goes township by township. And so that changes, you know, what you can have there. That changes the character of the community. So there's been, I guess, they've described it as a housing crisis in some parts of Ohio. There's a big Intel plant they've been trying to build near the Columbus area, and it's been on hold, and it's been stalled and arguing back and forth. And one of the big problems is that there isn't housing to absorb all of those employees that would be there. So they've been shopping around near the Columbus area where this is happening, different townships, and a lot of the townships have zoning laws that say, no, you cannot build high-density housing here. I'm sorry, go elsewhere. And that's frustrating the developers and the politicians who are relying on those developers or cozy with those developers. So the Senate president, who has an R behind his name, that's as far as I'll go in describing him, created a Senate Select Committee on Housing to investigate this issue. And it's made up of, I think it's three people with R's behind their names and one Democrat. They did hearings around the state, not very well publicized. Most people I know didn't hear about them until after, but they decided to investigate what it's going to take for housing stock to keep up with development projects, right? Well, they have decided that a big impediment to housing development is our township zoning rights. So townships in Ohio right now, again, in our county, that's 87% of our residents live in them. They get to make decisions, and there's every township has a zoning board with 5 members, and then a zoning appeals board with 5 members, and then a process where even the appeal can be appealed and go to court, and it happens quite often. They want to take that over and make a one-size-fits-all plan from the state that kind of supplants whatever we already have in each township for zoning. So this is bad. This is very bad news. They have put some legislation together, and it's odd. I haven't been paying attention to state legislation for very long, just the last few years, but I've never seen it happen like this. They came up with a title and a number for the bill. You know, bills always have a number. And the title is specifically, I'm going to find it on my notes here. House Bill 243 is titled Declare Intent to Address Local Zoning That Impedes Housing. But there's no actual language inside the bill. We don't know exactly what's in it yet. It seems very strange, but this needs to be fought, is the bottom line. So there was a Geauga County Planning Commission meeting, so that's planning countywide, and one of our local senators, Sandra O'Brien, attended. And she urged everyone at the meeting to please, right away, start now, let all of your lawmakers know, and the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House, and the committee members, let them all know that we in our county, and then anywhere else that's a township, let them know that we are not going to stand for any zoning changes coming from the state. We want to maintain our zoning authority. There's another thing, and this is another thing I want even across your listeners across the country to pay attention to, is that they're going to try many different tactics to get these high-density housing developments into rural areas. So in addition to this legislation, this committee put out an 89-page report, and it had 20-some recommendations in it, and six of them had to do with changing local, you know, zoning and other types of laws that govern our development. So they're going to try many different fronts, not just this one bill. And then they also mentioned something called stability zones that county commissioners are supposed to be able to declare, that would give the county commissioners the right to override zoning laws in that zone, which is also troubling. So it's like it's all these different tactics at once, and we need to fight it. So Fortify Geauga is trying really hard to get the word out to everyone that they need to, first of all, township trustees need to be contacted, although we've been told that it's nearly unanimous that our township trustees in all of our Geauga County townships don't want this. So the Geauga County Township Association, which is part of the Ohio Township Association, has put together a letter that they've sent to all of the trustees, and they're trying to get them all to sign it by the end of this month. And many already have. We've seen some stories in local papers that many of the township trustees have signed it. But if anyone in our county is listening, it would be great if you can nicely encourage your trustees to sign that letter. Anyone who's listening who's elsewhere in Ohio, we actually have a copy of that letter with permission up on our website, and that can be downloaded and shared with trustees in other areas. So that website, I'll spell it out. It's the word Fortify, Fortify, and then our county name, Geauga, Geauga, fortifygeauga.org. And if you click, if you just go to the homepage, the story is right there on the top of the homepage. It says the local senator is encouraging people to act on to preserve township zoning. And anybody listening who is in Geauga County or another county in Ohio who wants to learn more about this, we're going to have a special meeting, Fortify Geauga, on June 24th in the evening. We're going to do a pizza potluck where we're training citizens. People may be doing door-to-door or letters in the newspaper, making phone calls or sending emails. So we're going to get all the information that we can all laid out for anyone who wants to act on this. So if anyone listening would like to attend this, we already have several people coming from other counties who are waking up to this issue, please go to our website, fortifygeauga.org. There's a little blue box at the very top of the homepage that talks about this zoning. If you click there, you can register to come and join us on Monday, June 24th for some dinner and hopefully some activism.
All right. That's June 24th, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so the website again is fortifygeauga.org. Fortifygeauga.org. I noticed that I know that more and more organizations are coming together. I know that the Tea Party and I know Tactical Civics and the
yes.
John Birch Society and the Liberty Coalition. More and more, you know, we're all doing the same things, and that is good. Okay.
Yes.
Of course, the opposition, they have many out there too.
They do.
We're up against it. It's going to be a hot summer, and we better be prepared for it. We really should. And
well,
so,
can I interject one thing, Tiffany, after that?
Certainly.
Yeah, informational segment. On your website, mm-hmm. where you include how to get in touch with your senators and representatives and to do it most effectively via email.
Yes.
That's recorded where a phone call might not be.
Okay. How is Stevie's volume? Is she coming across? She's coming on low with me. Yeah, she's got me turned down here. Let me see where she's at there. It's what I turn her up, but she keeps playing with the dial.
Can I say it again?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead and say that again because you're coming in real low.
Okay. To repeat.
Is that better there? I think I turned the wrong dial.
You muted me,
Pastor. Wait a minute here.
Which number is she?
Now she's there.
Now can you hear me?
There we go.
Okay. So to reiterate, on the website, fortifiedgeauga.org, there are links for the senators and representatives to get in touch. And Sandra O'Brien did say in the planning meeting that the most effective way to do it, even though it's not as easy, is to do an email, because that is counted and documented, and it doesn't disappear like a phone call where someone might say, oh, we got four phone calls saying we don't like this zoning thing. But an email has a paper trail, or somewhat of a trail at least, and that has more effect on everything. So, and it's happening all over the country, not just here. So listeners in other parts of the country, it could have different names on it. But we do have the township, that's how we're a little different. But nonetheless, developers want to get things done and kind of step over and get new things passed.
Definitely. Did you ever notice, you never hear farmers say, we should take a whole bunch of bulldozers and go down into Cleveland and knock down those buildings, or we should go into, Cleveland Heights at their town council and get their charter changed so that farmers can move in there.
No.
You never hear about it going that way, but it's constantly coming the other
way. Coming, yeah. And that's constantly. Agenda 2030. That's
absolutely.
It's you have that with what is the other really bad?
NOAACA.
Yeah.
You said bad, and I said NOAACA.
Exactly. There's a ton of information on our website about NOAACA as well. For anyone who's interested or doesn't understand it or doesn't understand why it's bad, we have a whole page on our website devoted to NOAACA.
Yeah, NOAACA is like Ohio or Northeast Ohio's Agenda 2030 program.
It is.
That's exactly what it is.
And but nationwide, if anybody listening, if you live in an area, like a county that has a metropolitan area with more than 50,000 people in it, you probably are subjected to the same type of organization that NOAACA is.
They're very shadowy.
Yes.
Different acronyms, but
They're all it's called Metropolitan Planning Organization, and it's a federally mandated thing that started in the 60s.
Yeah,
and it's very, and ours in particular is very insidious because they're sneaking in.
They're unelected bureaucrats sneaking in.
Absolutely, climate change and equity and all of that
started out as roads and bridges infrastructure. Yeah. Now it's got all kinds of other little tidbits.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And they're so sneaky too. Mm-hmm. I attended one of their meetings, and at that meeting there had to be 100 people there, and there were only about 3 supporters for NOAACA, and they were promoting how we had such a well-attended meeting.
Yes, okay. Right. Yes, we've seen that many times.
Yeah, they're so sneaky, unbelievable.
Yep.
Well, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have some lightning rounds. So I'm going to give you, this is an article for you to study. You have about 2 minutes.
Okay.
To memorize that. Okay.
Good thing I'm a speed reader.
Yep. Okay. And then we're going to go, and I'm going to go through, how would you like it if I go through a list of 34 reasons the Bragg Biden show, the trial should have been tossed out.
That sounds
every
good.
Single one.
Only 34?
31 for each count, right?
They were, every one was bogus, every single one. But listen to this. Unbelievable. Experts discover oldest written records of Jesus Christ's childhood, revealing an amazing miracle not in the Bible. So so you take this with a grain of salt, right? But it's an interesting read. So how much time do I have? So we're going to be coming up to a fast break here. Then we come back, lightning rounds. And then we might even open up the phone calls, and you'd have to take calls from who knows who might be calling it.
Sounds good to me.
Maybe you have time for a song, 20 seconds.
Yeah, 20 seconds coming up there. We're going to do a countdown in a minute. Yes. Style, he likes to count. Go ahead, Style. 3,
speechless.
4, 5, 18. 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065.
If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.